Great. So our next presentation is from Irina Holler, which relates to vitamin D and inflammation status in postmenopausal American Indian women. And a little bit about Irina. Dr. Holler is a senior research scientist at Essentia Institute of Rural Health, and her background is in physiology and analytical methodology in biomedical research. Irina has also extensive expertise in the utilization of large data sets and electronic health records for health services research. Her primary research interests are in rural and minority health and health issues of older adults, and her current emphasis is on vitamin D status and its relation to chronic diseases. So, welcome, Irina.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to thank the organizers for the opportunity to present our data. I have nothing to disclose. And this is actually a first presentation of data from a large study supporting Native women's vitamin D research funded by the National Center for Minority Health and Disparities, Comprehensive Centers of Excellence, that is currently located at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Also, the study was actually following the academic community partnership model developed by the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, and the logo for the study was developed by the an artist from one of the tribes that participates, putting the sun, important for vitamin D, in the middle of the logo. Despite of many years of great attention among clinicians and public health, on the vitamin D status, we still have really very low vitamin D levels in a general population. We normally measure vitamin D status by circulating 25-hydroxy-D, and currently the levels of inadequacy or low vitamin D status considered to be less than 20 if you are concerned with bone health, according to the recent recommendations. But for general health, we still would like to see vitamin D or 25-hydroxy-D levels at 30 or above nanograms per milliliter. One of the major reasons for low vitamin D status related to inadequate dietary intake, not many foods, despite the supplementation or fortification, have vitamin D, or they do have on fairly low levels, and of course limited sun exposure due to lifestyle or seasonal effects. As you know, some of you know, above the 40th parallel north, we cannot produce vitamin D from the sun from October through April. So supplementation or fortification are very important. Despite the fact that melanin or skin pigmentation is a very important factor in vitamin D production, still our previous research showed that the ethnic or racial differences beyond or independent of sun or skin pigmentation might still occur. We don't quite understand why yet. And a couple of things also about the vitamin D. We definitely know what are the consequences of low vitamin D status on skeletal health. That has been very well documented. In children, it manifests like as rickets. In adults, it may be osteomalacia, softening of the bones, and in older adults, development of osteopenia and osteoporosis. However, more and more we have been looking at the association, non-classical associations of low vitamin D status, and specifically infection, immune dysfunction, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. So in our study, we hypothesized that low vitamin D status leads to the development of the inflammatory environment in the organism, which might serve as a mechanism underlying the development of seemingly diverse health consequences. couple of words about the inflammation, how we measure it. We were using a high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, or CRP, that by itself or in combination with other cardiac measures can be used to evaluate levels of vascular inflammation and therefore measure of healthy person's risk for developing cardiovascular disease. And these are the groupings of risk based on the American Heart Association and CDC in respect to the levels of the C-reactive protein. Concentrations below 1 milligram per liter is associated with low risk. Moderate risk is linked to between 1 and 3 milligrams per milliliter, and anything above 3 is considered high risk. And of course, additional risk factors are very well known: elevated levels of total cholesterol, LDLs, bad cholesterol, triglycerides, elevated glucose, diabetes, smoking, and hypertension. Our population was comprised of postmenopausal American Indian women between ages 45 and 80 years old who did not have known cardiovascular disease. And they were recruited at a tribal health and wellness center between June 2011 and July 2012. We enrolled 120 women. Most of them have met inclusion criteria. Women were excluded from the study if they had either very low or very high vitamin D status as measured by 25-hydroxy-D, if they had known cardiovascular disease, had uncontrolled thyroid disease, or had changes in dosing of their lipid-lowering medications 6 weeks prior to enrollment. They also had to be able to give informed consent, and they also were asked and be willing to abstain from smoking at least 12 hours prior to non-invasive vascular ultrasound studies. So that screening, they said that there was little thing is going to show, but it's not. Oop, nope, sorry. Should go back. The blue, which appears like a teal line on your screen, was the screening visit with exclusion of those who did not meet criteria. Others were randomized to two groups, one low vitamin D3 at 4,100 international units daily, and the high vitamin D3, 2,500 international units daily. That would be the intervention group. Women came and were evaluated at baseline 3 months and 6 months. So 6 months they were on the study. And during each of the visits, we evaluated a number of laboratories, specifically 25-hydroxy-D chemistries, inflammatory markers, lipid panel, glucose, hemoglobin A1C, and they also receive vascular ultrasound. These are all of the measurements that were collected during the study, but I will show some of the other risk factors for cardiovascular disease, such as lipid panel and glucose, but primarily concentrate on 25-hydroxy-D and C-reactive protein. Some of the analysis did a lot of univariate or bivariate analysis for variables, did the general linear modeling, looking at the relationships between 25 treatment group and the response in the C-reactive proteins, and looked also, used the Pearson correlation looking for associations between these variables. A quick look at the baseline status in this population in respect to vitamin D. As you can see, there were no differences between the two groups, those who were randomized in the low and high, therefore I present them together. If we are using the 29 gram per milliliter cutoff, which is associated with bone health, About 30% of participants had low vitamin D, and using the 30 nanogram per milliliter cutoff, the percentage jumps to 69, and that's very consistent with our previous observation in other populations in our region, American Indian populations in our region. Baseline demographics, I highlighted the 25-hydroxy-D and C-reactive proteins, but generally women were around 61, 62 years old on average. Very similar BMI, elevated BMI. You can see that the average levels of 25-hydroxy-D were below 30, the one level, nanograms per milliliter, what we want to see. The glucose levels on average were in the impaired range, and other parameters were also elevated, and you can see that C-reactive protein is at a very high level. Very weak correlation, negative correlation between the 25-hydroxy-D and C-reactive protein was observed at baseline. And this is the end of study vitamin D status. I added the gray line, gray bars. These are the overall baseline numbers. You can definitely see that those who received higher levels, darker blue bars, had much greater improvement in their vitamin D status compared to those who received low dose, which are light blue lines, and the difference between the two groups was statistically significant. You can see that it was about threefold on average increase in the high dose. These are the clinical characteristics by group. Again, not many. There were no significant changes in any of the factors over the 6 months study period. Other than the increase in vitamin D levels, what you would expect. The early noted correlation between 25-hydroxy-D and C-reactive protein had disappeared at 6 months. And I looked at the multivariate linear model for effect of treatment on inflammation was corrected for the change in the 25-hydroxy-D. As you can see, there was no effect for any of the parameters considered. And these are the estimated marginal means in both groups, both the table and the graphical representation. Darker blue is the control line or change from baseline to 6 months, and the green is in the intervention. Even though it seems that the intervention groups had a slower increase in values, the differences were not significant, and the brackets on both sides show the 95% confidence intervals for those estimates, and they significantly overlap. Very quickly, the summary and conclusions. We did observe that low vitamin D status was common in this population. Both groups had increase in 25-hydroxy-D concentrations, and much greater it was in the higher dose group, which you would have expect. Very high levels of the C-reactive proteins in this population, suggesting very high risk for developing cardiovascular disease. Weak but significant negative correlation was observed between two variables of interest, suggesting that great inflammation might be associated with low vitamin D status. But we did not see an effect of vitamin D supplementation on the inflammation marker. Few explanations possible. We only looked at one association. Other factors have not been included in this analysis. We're still getting that done. definitely the relationship might be more complex than just what I'm describing now. Non-linear relationships are also possible. So we're continuing with our analysis in constant consultation with the tribal community and also focusing our efforts on developing the intervention to reduce the burden of this chronic disease. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.